following is a message by a guest speaker given at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.
So, good morning. We've enjoyed being with you in fellowship here at the Grace Family Church. And we're excited to be here today and talk about something that's very dear to our hearts. And so we've been working on this area of helping people understand the scriptures for quite some time. And so hopefully this will be a help to you today. And so what we're going to do, you're going to be using this, you're going to be marking this up. So we're going to work on this and go through the text. So I'm going to read the whole text and then we're going to go back over it. Okay? The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are altogether righteous. They're more desirable than gold, yes, and much fine gold, sweeter also than honey, and the dripping of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. So you'll notice over on the right-hand side there, it has a list of Psalm 119. I was going to ask this question. We'll go ahead and ask it anyway. Which is the longest chapter in the Bible? Psalm 119. So Psalm 19 is the miniature Psalm 119, okay? So if you look at Psalm 119 and point at any verse, it'll be something about the Word of God. So Psalm 19 is sort of this in miniature, and we're going to mark it. So the first verse 7, I've done this for you, but you can use your colored pencil if you'd like. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. So what we're going to do as we go through this passage, we're going to circle the characteristic. Okay, this is sort of amazing, yes.
Push it a little closer to your mouth and then you'd be good. Yeah, well, let me help you there. One second. A little bit more. There you go, perfect.
Thank you. I'll tell a quick story. This is totally off the subject. But I was in a church, I was preaching three services. And the first service, they gave me one of these and they had it turned off or something, so it didn't work. So the second service, they cranked it up, and when I used it, everybody almost fell down. And then the third service, they took it away from me. So hopefully we'll be able to make it through. Okay, so the characteristic in this first one, the law of the Lord is what? Perfect. And then the underlying word is a verb. And those of you that have been out of the school a long time, it's an ing word to help you remember. So it is what? Restoring, that's the verb. And then there's the part of the body, and that's the soul. So when we go through this, we're going to do this as we go through it. Don't do it right now. So we're going to do it as we do the verse. So God's word is perfect, but people are not perfect. People commit sin. They inherit sin from Adam. And they are fatally flawed. I hate to bring that news to you today, but you are fatally flawed. And so that's the problem we face. But this idea of the scriptures being perfect, and it's very interesting because the word is the idea without blemish, and that word is used 21 times in the book of Leviticus. What do you think it's talking about in the book of Leviticus? When it says something is blameless, without blemish. The sacrifices, yeah, the lamb sacrifices were without blemish. Then it restores, another word for that would be revive, converting the soul. And the soul is that innermost person. So the word is able to restore, revive, convert the soul. When I was 18 years old, I was a first year at university, and I heard a message about Jesus, about his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And I put my faith in Christ, and my soul was restored. I was brought back into a right relationship with God. So the Word of God is able to restore the soul. Now we're going to mark this next phrase. So get your color out. You're going to put a circle around the characteristics. Everybody do that. Look at the characteristics. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise is simple. Underline the ing word and put a box around the part of the body. I'll give you a minute to do that. I want the little young men to be helping and the young women to do this as well. They're very good at this stuff. Okay, who wants to help me out? The characteristic is what? Who wants to help me? Yes. It's sure. Very good. And what does it do? What's the verb? Making. And the part of the body? The simple. What does that mean? Okay, we're going to talk about what these things mean. So, the word sure has the idea of faithful or firm. When I was a kid, my dad made me work. We had a wall that fell down, so we had to make this wall. Man, it was a lot of work. And my job was to mix the cement. So cement, you get sand and what? Cement, sand, rocks, and water. And do you just sort of throw it on? No, you have to mix that up. You have to mix it, and it becomes sure. It becomes firm. Then you put it down, and stuff can settle. And that's how you do foundations. So it is sure. Now, the word simple. So if someone walked up to Sheldon, Sheldon, you seem like you're simple. Is that a compliment or sort of derogatory? No. So the idea of simple is someone that's immature, someone that's naive, inexperienced, lacking sense, or even ignorant. Okay? So, it makes wise the simple. Interesting. So, I come to Christ. Am I mature the next day when I wake up in the morning? Did I suddenly become wise? No. And this will get the older generation. I knew about John, George, Paul, and Ringo. Who were those guys? The Beatles, that's right. But I knew nothing about Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Zero, almost zero. But one of my friends gave me a Bible. And I started reading the Bible and spending time in the Bible. And I began growing. And then later on, I began doing Bible study. I began memorizing Scripture. And before long, I moved from being simple to being transformed in my mind. So this idea of simple, we're going to use this as the mind. Okay? Our minds are transformed. It's very interesting. Romans 12:2 says, "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." So this idea of the mind is very important. It helps us to make wise choices. It helps us see things with perspective. And it transforms every area of the life. And what happens when you line your life up with the Word, everything starts making more sense. Everything starts making more sense. So, verse 7, we've seen that the soul is what? Restored. The mind is made wise. So far, so good. All right, mark verse 8. Go ahead and mark both sections of verse 8. I'll just read it again. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. All right, the first one is what? I heard it back there, this young man said. He said it. Say it again. Say again. He said it very loud when he wasn't supposed to, but now he won't. Okay. Right. Very good. And what does it do? What does it do? Back in this corner here, what does it do? The word of the Lord is right. The ing word is? Rejoicing. The part of the body? Heart, very good. I knew this was the heart people here. I could tell. So, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoice in heart. Right has the idea of correct, being straight. Being straight. Interesting. Being straight. Being straight. And what does it do? Rejoices or brings joy to the heart. The truth that makes the heart right brings joy to the right heart. Okay? So the scriptures bring joy to the heart. So sometimes I'll ask the question, why do you spend time in the Bible? And for me, why do I spend time in the Bible? It brings me joy. I enjoy it. Jeremiah 15:16 says, "Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Thy words became to me the joy and delight of my heart." You know why people are not joyful? A lot of times it's because they're not making progress. So suppose you know Sean here, and then you go down to Mona Prep, and Sean is in the third grade. And he's been there for a long time. Now, he might be happy. Stand up real quick, Sean. He might be happy because he's finally bigger than everyone else. And he's able to beat them and fight them. But after a while, he would not be happy. Why? Because you're supposed to go third grade, fourth grade. You're supposed to be making progress. So many of you, I hate to say this, but I've been doing this long enough. Many of you are stuck in your walk. You're sort of here, and you're not making progress. And the unfortunate thing is, I like to show people, the Christian life is like this. So if you're not going up, you're going, uh-oh. You're sliding back. That's why we call it backsliding. Okay, so you need to be making progress, and that's why you're going to have joy. We expect to make progress in our physical development, and we need to be making progress in our spiritual development. Philippians 1 talks about that. Paul says, "I know that I'll remain with you for your progress and joy in the faith." That's one of my Philippians, I think it's 125 or 126. So you're going to have joy because you're growing and developing. It rejoices the heart. And the second part, 8b, says, the commandment of the Lord is, what's the characteristic? Pure. Pure. And what does it do? Enlightening what? The eyes. Enlightening the eyes. So the idea of pure is the idea of clear. The idea of clear. There's clearness. There's clarity. There's purity. And enlighten the eyes. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. There's a couple different things we get with light. Some of it's perspective, and other times it's guidance. For some reason, our power was off. When was it, Friday? Like the power pole went down. It was dark. And one of my kids called me from the States. He said, "We can't see you," because it was so dark they couldn't see us. But when the lights come back on, then you've got clarity. So we see that the scriptures will give guidance and directions. It'll help you in your relationships. You know, if you follow what the Bible says, in relationships, you're going to be much better off. Okay? If you don't, you're going to be much worse off. So it's going to help you with your relationships, with your work issues, and all these different things. Enlightening the eyes. Now, do 9a. Do the next verse. The fear of the Lord is... it's what? Clean. And the verb is enduring, but there's no body part listed here. There's no part of the body listed. So the word of the Lord is clean. That says the fear of the Lord. It's interesting, isn't it? It uses the word fear as a description. What does healthy fear do? I was thinking about this. What does healthy fear do just in normal life? Yeah, it keeps you from doing stupid stuff. It keeps you safe. And if you're a 19-year-old male, you'll still do stupid stuff. That's just the way it is. But fear does help you from doing so. So use the word fear of the Lord. Lord is clean, enduring forever. And 1 Peter talks about that idea, that the Word of God endures forever. Matthew mentions that. The Word of God endures. So there's the enduring power of Scripture. The Scripture has endurance. And then the second part of verse 9 says what? The judgments, Lord, are what? What's the characteristic? True. They're true and they're what? Yeah, so but there's two characteristics there, isn't there? They're true and they're righteous. So this idea of true, it's right. They're right. They're not wrong. They're right. And they're righteous. They're in the right. They're true. All of the altogether has the idea of all of them. The sum of thy word is truth, and every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting. So the word, so if you go through Psalm 119, what's the reference on it? Yeah, 164 mentions that, and all these psalms, you can go look those up later. So let's list the characteristics. Okay, let's go list the characteristic. First one was what? Perfect. Second one, sure. Third one, right. Fourth one, pure. Fifth one, clean. Sixth one, true. Seventh one, righteous. Wow. And it does what? It restores, makes wise, rejoicing, enlightening, enduring. And the part of the body it affects, the soul, the mind, the heart, and the eyes. Wow. That's amazing. Now there's another phrase in this, I want to see if you can see it. There's another phrase that's repeated in each of these lines. What is that? Of the Lord. So this Bible that we have is what? Of the Lord. That's why we call this is the Word of God. Think about that. Think about the privilege that we have. We have the inspired Word of God. Anybody want to quote 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 for me? All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for? Yeah, for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, verse 17, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. So there's some 2 Timothy 3:16. The importance of the Scriptures. So you can see here that on your paper now there's a little line drawn. Okay? So this top part is talking about the, what are the three things it's talking about? It's talking about the, what? I've forgotten. What is it talking about? The characteristics, the actions, and the body part. Okay, good. This bottom part, then, is application. It's talking to us. What are we to do with this? What are we to do with this? And it says, they're more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also in the honey, also sweeter also, that's why I've got wrote that row, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. So, I was going to bring in a bunch of gold and a bunch of honey, but they just weren't as available today. So, what I did, I brought in a combination. Sometimes you can get this combination, and I'm going to have Caleb come up here. Caleb. So, he's going to stand right here, and I'm going to give him something gold and it's honey. Hold that up. What do you think about that?
Nice.
Say it loud.
Looks nice.
What do you think it's going to taste like? Go ahead and try it. You can have it. All right. And we've got some of those for everybody, I think almost everybody here. So I've got them over here. I was going to hand them out, but I wanted you to think about it. So you're missing out, and you'll have an opportunity to get something that's gold and it's sweet. So what's our response to God's Word? How do you know, and this, I don't know why, this always comes back to me. When I was like in kindergarten, they brought honey into school and we tasted it. I can still remember that, and I hardly remember anything about kindergarten or first grade. But for some reason, that stuck with me. How do we know something, if you put it in, is it sweet? Yes, he's very happy. How do you know something's sweet? Taste it. Taste it. Taste it. So how do we know that the Bible is sweet? By tasting it. By tasting it. And you have to develop an appetite. So that's one of the dangerous things about sugar, isn't it? It can be a bit addictive. And you take it, and you want it, and you need it. And so the Bible's like that. As you spend time in the Scriptures, you're going to get more and more interested. And then there was another passage that I thought of earlier. I was going to use that later. In Peter, it says, like newborn babes, desire or crave this pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Do you have to tell a baby? How many of the women have had newborn babies? You have to tell the baby when they're newborn when to eat? No. They want to eat all the time because they have smaller stomachs. I think that's the reason. But they want to eat. They're letting you know, I want milk. I want milk. I want milk. That's the way we should be toward the Scriptures, like newborn babies. We need this. We want this. We're going to put out the effort and energy to use this. And then it says what? Moreover, by them your servant is warned, in keeping them there is great reward. So the Bible warns us and rewards us. Wow. I know I can use warnings, and I would like rewards. I'm going to focus on the reward part. Psalm 1, 2, and 3, the first psalm, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree firmly planted. Where in the desert? No, by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. Its leaf does not wither. And whatever he does, he prospers. And the next verse says, the wicked are not so. Joshua 1:8. So I have a whole message I do on this. I start with Joshua because he's in about 1500 B.C. And God says this. This book of the law, Joshua 1:8, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you'll make thy way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. And I usually say, did Joshua have a hard job? Let's see. Took over for Moses. How many of you want to take over for Moses? No. And do a job that Moses couldn't do. And the people said, as you obeyed Moses, as we obeyed Moses, we'll also obey you. And I would, if I was Joshua, I said, I would quit. Because they were not obedient people. And yet God used Joshua in 1500 B.C. Then 1000 B.C., David quotes Psalm 1. And then in the first century, about 48 A.D., another 1,000 years later, James says, James says what? What does it say? James says, James 1, he says, I knew I should. I always have these. The one who looks intently at the perfect law. Well, we'll start a little bit earlier. It talks about being not merely hearers of the word, but doers. If any man is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. Once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful doer, but a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, that man shall be blessed in what he does. So James, David, Joshua, say, if you're in the Word, you're keeping the Word, you're going to be blessed because you're going to be in alignment. You guys talk about that. Isn't that a big thing? I think Sheldon likes this. Alignment. You want to be, isn't that one of his key things he talks about? I think so. I remember he said enough. You want to be in alignment. When your car is out of alignment, you're doing this. You want to be in alignment with God. How do you get in alignment with God? John 14:21. He who has my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me, and he that loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. God will show you the way when you're in alignment. So that's all the good news. The motivational stuff. The stuff that should get you excited about spending time in the Scripture. So the question is, why then do people not read their Bibles? And I've got a list of like 10 things. I'll share 4 of them. People say, I don't have time. I'm too busy. And so then I ask them the question, do you eat every day physical food? Most people will say, I'm able to say yes to that. Would you eat every day physical food? Even in the West, we eat 3 meals a day usually, even in the West. All right. So if you're so busy, then when you eat breakfast, have your Bible open. And during that 5 or 10 minutes that you're eating breakfast, you can read your Bible. I don't really buy the excuse that you're too busy. We make choices every day on what we do. All right. Another one is... I get distracted when I'm reading. And that's because it's a very amazing, this will be a new one for many of you. This is very amazing. You know why you get distracted when you're reading? Because you read like this. James chapter 1. James, a bondservant of God, and the Lord, I wonder what we're having for lunch today. And the Lord Jesus Christ. To those who are, boy, it's a pretty day. Maybe I should, what happens? Your brain is a supercomputer. And you're writing, going so slowly, other things come. You'll understand better if you read faster. That seems counterintuitive, but it's true. Because when you read faster, you're focusing and you're getting more. And we'll talk a little bit later about the difference between reading and studying. But this is, I got 2 more. So turn to the person next to you and say, I'm just not disciplined enough. I'm just not disciplined enough. So that one I hear a lot, okay? I just don't have the discipline. Well, I went yesterday, I read the whole book of Proverbs. I was going to see if I could find that. It's not in there. It's not in there. It doesn't say I'm not disciplined. But here's what it says. So now turn to your person and say, I'm a sluggard. I'm slothful. I'm lazy. I'm a slacker. All except that last one are in the book of Proverbs. I threw that one in. I like that idea of being a slacker. That's the reality. Okay? People are lazy. You know how I know that you're lazy? Because I'm also lazy. Okay? It's easy to take the sluggard way. But if you read through there about the sluggard, what does it say? I went to the field of the sluggard. And what was it like? It was all tore up. It was all messed up. So when you go to say, someone says, have you been reading the Bible? You say, well, I'm not disciplined enough. Insert those other words and say, oh, that's not so comfortable. I don't feel so comfortable calling myself a slackard or a sluggard. All right. And then the one that people use a lot, they say, I have no plan. Because many people when they're first Christians say, God, direct me and guide me. And they use the magic method. They just sort of open randomly and read something. And the next week they do, or next day they do the same thing. They do the same thing and they read it and say, you know, the Bible doesn't make much sense. And if you did a history book that way, the Bible wouldn't make much sense. You'd read about, I was an American history teacher, so you might read about Columbus discovered America. Abraham Lincoln spoke at Gettysburg. Patrick Henry said, give me liberty or give me death. What? Boy, American history is confusing. The Bible's written in context. So what I've got here This is my magic bag. I take this bag wherever I go. It's got magic stuff in it. So it's got Bible reading plans. And to tempt you to come up here, it's got gold and honey. And so you'll be able to, let's see. There's three different plans here. One is the New Testament in order, Matthew through Revelation. Another one is reading the New Testament, and this will be for you theological guys, by doctrine. Soteriology, Christology, Ecclesiology, Eschatology. Most people won't pick that up, but I've also told you what those things mean. And then the one I've been using lately has Luke, Acts first. So you do Luke, and Acts was written by Luke, and then it follows the Paul's letters in order of their writing. Very interesting way to read them. So you read Luke, you read Acts, and then when you, because some people, we were doing something with somebody, and people were saying, Philippi, what is that? What is that? They'd never read the book of Acts. So some of that stuff doesn't make sense. Okay. You want them to come up now? No. They come up later. You can just leave them there. They're there. Well, these are all, I was going to leave them here.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to make them, if they want to get, see, they'll come up here for the candy. And when they're up here for the candy, they might pick up a Bible reading plan. All right. So that's a little bit of things. The motivation and everything is in this top half. The Bible does amazing things. But then we have responsibility. So that's the part that's tricky. We want God to force us to do some things when really it's the choices and decisions we make. Okay? And these things will be sweet and help you. And then you'll be making progress in your Christian life. And you'll be growing. And then you know what you can do? You can pass it on to other people. This is very pass-onable. So when I was in Africa, Joel didn't share this, we spent 17 years in Africa. And so somewhere in the fifth or sixth year, two boys came to Christ at a crusade or something. About an hour from where I lived. So I went down there to see them. And when I get there, there's seven guys around a table. And they're all rural farmers. So they have cows, they have some chickens, and they're growing beans. And they have seventh grade education, ninth grade, form one, form two education. Okay, they're and so I'm sitting there, wow, I got these seven guys here. What am I going to do? Let's read through the New Testament together. And so these guys had real little Bibles, and they began reading through the New Testament. And I would go down there, travel down there every week, and we'd meet. So the good thing about farmers, I said, well, let's meet at 10. They control their own timetable. So we'd go down there and meet for a couple hours every week. And these guys started growing like crazy because they were there. They were all doing it together. So this is the other thing. If Sean starts doing it and his wife starts doing it, then they can share what they're learning from the reading. And that's what these guys were doing. And they were growing and growing. Some false teachers came in to trick them on some stuff. And they said, we've read the New Testament. It's mentioned in the Bible, but it's not the main emphasis of the Bible. So these same guys, the navigators only worked with university people in Kenya initially in Nairobi. And we had a weekend conference where we went and spent the night. And so I took these, I don't know if all of them went, I think five or six of these guys went to this. Them, the rural farmers, and all these university students. And so you know what happened? The university students guys came up to me. I didn't know navigators could help people out of that weren't in university. I'm going to go back in my village and help people. Because they saw these guys, they were following Jesus. Just like university students were following Jesus. I've used this with 7th and 8th grade kids as well. One time it was so funny. I used this in the States, and the parents kept coming to me, "Man, what are you doing? My kid's reading the Bible. He's asking me all these questions. I don't know anything about what they're asking me." So the kids were motivated, and so they're reading through the Scriptures, and they're having questions. So you can do this with your young children. You can read out loud if they're really young and read a passage and say, "What did you learn from this?" But you got to get it. We joke about it takes a village. It does take a community to get things going a lot of times. It takes encouragement from other people. So let's pray, and then we're going to have a little question and answer time. Pray. Lord, thanks so much for the time we've had this morning. Thank you for the Word of God, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, above joint and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. We thank you that you've given us the Scriptures to live by. It gives us direction. Thank you that it's sweet like honey, and it's more valuable, more precious than gold. Help us to put these things into practice, and help us to encourage one another in this so that we can grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And in His name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for taking us into Psalm 19 that way. I just want to spend the next few minutes just kind of as we are processing our response to the Word of God. I thought this would be a good opportunity just to get Patty up here also for me to be able to ask them a couple of questions to help us to process and to respond to what we've been learning. So let me get set to. Mark, maybe we can just start where you were ending there. I'm familiar with some of the Navigator's material, and I know that you guys talk about different ways of engaging with the Scriptures. Could you just help everyone to understand just the kind of levels we want to think about engaging with the Scriptures? Because I think that kind of separation helps us to have a regular daily intake that's reasonable.
Yeah. So we have what's called the hand illustration. Talks about the way we intake the Word. Beginning of the most simple is reading. Hearing, reading, studying, memorizing, and meditation. The meditation touches all these. So of these are the more active ones, reading, studying, and memorization. But we only usually do study maybe once a week. And maybe we'll so the idea of studying, sort of what we did today, we did a little study, a little inductive study. You might do that. But reading is for the big picture. So when I'm talking about reading, I'm talking about reading the whole New Testament in 3 months. We didn't talk about that much, but here was a quiz question. How many books in the New Testament? Books. 27. How many chapters in the New Testament?
Lots.
Do you remember? He's forgotten. Take the number of books is how many? Multiply by 10. Subtract 10. Number of chapters in the New Testament. Or you can just remember 260. So if you read 3 chapters a day, 3 goes into 270. 90, which is 3 months. So read 3 chapters a day. That's what I did with these guys, the rural guys. I said, I want you to read 3 chapters a day. And you'll finish the whole New Testament in 3 months. And that's what they did. So reading is for big picture. So we place, I don't want to say too much emphasis, but we place a lot of emphasis on study and not much on reading. And so most people have never read the Bible. Is that what you wanted, sort of like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patty, can you tell us just a bit about the kind of habits you've been able to develop for yourself in terms of reading the Bible? Because it feels like that's the most important level to be to have sustained engagement with?
Yeah, so I had started reading through the Bible when I was still in university before we were married. Just the idea that was presented to me was, like Mark said, it gives you the big picture. I like to do jigsaw puzzles. And if I don't have the box, though, that has the picture on the front, I don't know where all the pieces go. So that was what Bible reading does. It gives me a broad picture so I can fit the details in. And reading, I do read every day. I read for enjoyment. I read for just to get to know God. And sort of an eye-opener for me once was I do like American football, but I can't just sit and watch a whole game. I've got to I'll usually read. And so one Sunday, it wasn't like my time with God, but I thought, what can I read during the game? And I thought, I'll read the Bible. And then it's like, oh, I can't do that. That's so disrespectful. So I was looking through all my other books, and then I thought, wait a minute, why is it okay to read something else but not read the Bible? And so it was the idea then that I can read it for my time with God and my devotions, but it's available to read and enjoy anytime. So that's just, you know, I do have my quiet times and set time, but then reading, I may do it in my devotions. I may just do it for enjoyment later.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Patty. That's helpful. I mean, and I think one of the things I've heard you guys saying in all of this, and it connects to some of what we've been looking at over the last few weeks, is that reading in this way helps us to understand the story of the scriptures.
Yeah.
And that kind of big picture of what's going on. So, okay, question then. What should I do if I'm reading and I feel like I'm not understanding what's going on? What should I be trying to understand? I mean, we're getting back to that big picture thing, but mm-hmm. a lot of people will talk to me and they say, boy, I don't feel like I'm understanding the scriptures. What should my expectation be? What advice would you give to somebody in that kind mm-hmm. of situation?
Did you want to go first?
Yeah, go ahead. You go.
I think one thing is to tell them, keep reading. Don't be focused on just what you don't understand. But also realize if I'm reading, I am learning something. Couple things that were helpful to me. I was so excited the first time I finished the Bible because I thought, now that I've read it, I'll know it. And I finished reading it and felt a bit let down. It was like, I don't have a total grasp of Scripture. But that was the wrong objective. You're not going to understand it from reading once. Have a long-term perspective. I'm building. I've read it through once. When I go through, I'm going to learn more. What else?
Yeah, Mark? So the first time you read through, you say, Abraham, oh, this guy's an interesting guy. Then, and you wonder who he is. The next time you know who he is, then you can figure out who Lot is. So as you go through these stories, I mean, even when you read stories, regular stories, you're trying to figure out, and my wife gets mad at me all the time. I was like, who is that person in some movie? I can't remember. Is she married to that person? It's just confusing. So, but when you read through the Bible over every year and years and years, then all this stuff makes more sense.
And I'm sorry. Another thing I do is I read with a pencil in hand, and sometimes if I've got a big question or something I don't understand, I'll just make a question mark in the margin. Then at a time when I'm doing study, I can go back and find my questions and dig deeper.
Yeah, but don't focus on what you don't understand. Focus on what God is speaking to you and what you do understand, because that's what he's wanting you to apply.
So it feels like one of our big goals then in reading should be building familiarity with the material, just kind of getting familiar with this terrain and territory instead of I'm getting deep into this one little concept.
That's right. That's, you know,
but we're,
that's
we're reading
study.
For this big.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. That's
great.
Yep.
That's helpful. You mentioned this before, and I guess we are talking about it. Why would you kind of counsel somebody away from this kind of very slow way of reading the scriptures, kind of very focused on individual verses, individual arguments, individual clauses, kind of thing? Why is that not necessarily the best way for us to be approaching Scripture in general?
Okay, so here's, if I did an experiment, I said, Sheldon. Sheldon's going to read one chapter a day in Matthew for 28 days. And I'm going to have Sean read three chapters a day for 28 days in Matthew. Sean reads Matthew one time. Sheldon reads Matthew three times.
Who's going to understand? Slow reading Sheldon or fast reading Sean? Fast reading Sean. Why? Repetition. Repetition. See, that's part of the deal. It's not, oh, I've read it once. Man, I've read through it many times. So that's part of it. It's the repetition and it's the focus thing. When I read slow, my mind wanders off. Our supercomputer is running full speed, and I'm only using a few things. So that's part of the, yeah.
And with that, I think, too, especially the letters, they were written as a unit. And so sometimes what's mentioned in the third or fourth chapter ties in with what Paul was talking about in the first. So if you get all of that, it makes more sense.
So finally, can you encourage us in terms of as a community? And I'll frame it a little bit. One of our goals as a local church is to be growing together. So we understand the together aspect of it to be very significant. And we're trying together to be digging deeper into the gospel. And by the gospel, we mean the whole story, because that's what Jesus taught. On our very first Sunday, we went to Luke 24, and we realized that Jesus pointed out that all of scriptures kind of culminate in him and point to him. So it's not so much a narrow focus on the gospels, but on the big story of Jesus. How would you encourage us as a community? What are practical things we can be doing together to be digging deeper into the scriptures?
Yeah, I think a little bit of what I talked about is this to be done so just in the family. So if you guys are reading, husband and wife are reading, share what you're reading with each other. And then if you have some other people in your community that are close by, I mean, COVID's sort of strange, but you can even just set up a, let's once a week get together for 30 or 40 minutes on Zoom and share what we've been learning in the scriptures. So that's pretty significant. And then the other thing I hadn't talked about is read with a text edition of the Bible. Don't use a study Bible to read. Why?
Get distracted.
You get distracted. You read the notes. And the notes, by the way, are not inspired by God. Not even, some of them are wrong. So you want to read the scriptures. So get a text edition of the Bible. And it's very easy. You can carry it with you to work. You can read it during lunch. That's probably the biggest, one of the biggest hindrances is the Bibles we're using. Don't get the tiny, tiny print, because it's just harder to read. Guys in Covey had the tiny, tiny print, but that's where life is.
And I think, too, keeping in mind, there's just an element of enjoying God in it. We don't have to come away from time in the Scripture every time with a big lightning bolt. Yeah. It's right. Valuable in itself just in being in it.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark and Patty. That's really encouraging. I mean, and so just to process a little bit, I think a lot of us have been raised in traditions where we carry such high expectations for our Bible reading times that we're actually discouraged from doing it. We're expecting to meet God in a tangible way, carrying away some gold nugget every time, instead of just learning to dig up the ground and see what emerges eventually. So I really appreciate the fact that you're giving us a perspective here that's going to allow us to almost more casually engage the scriptures, while engaging them seriously at the same time, expressed in our persistence and our dedication to doing that. So I think that's going to serve us well as a community. And as we head into the new year, we're going to talk some more about this, guys. We just want to be figuring out how can we just be regularly in the scriptures and kind of lower the pressure valve in terms of, I read three chapters and I really didn't understand much. Oh, but I read three chapters and I'm growing in my overall picture of what's going on in this book. So I really want to thank you guys. The other thing I want to say to everyone is Mark and Patty are committed to being among us for the next several months. They may be ending their time in Jamaica by next summer. So you have them for a while. Please lean on them. I've sat with Mark in Bible studies. We've studied Acts. I got 100% on my exam at the Pastor's College because of my study with Mark in Acts. And we did that once a week. But it just gives you such a great grasp of the book that I carried that with me. We've studied Isaiah, which is a daunting book to many people. But Mark made it easy and accessible so we could understand what was going on. They are willing to serve you. They are here. COVID has meant a lot of the regular things they'd be occupied with, they're not able to do. So it's almost like God has cleared their calendar for Grace Family Church so that we can learn and pass on to others. So I want to encourage you, talk to them afterwards. If you're interested in studying with them, let them know and they'll get back to you on it. But please, guys, don't allow this opportunity to pass. There are people to whom and in whom God has poured a lot, and they're glad to pour that out for us. So let's just pray, and then we'll close with a benediction, and feel free to talk to them and continue to enjoy each other's company and encourage each other. Lord, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you didn't just give us your word, but you gave us many encouragements to be in your word. Your word warns us, and your word promises great reward. It promises to restore us. It promises to delight us. It promises to enlighten our eyes. Lord, help us not to look those promises in the face and then believe lies. Help us not to look away from your word, but to learn more and more to be in your word, and so that we would grow through that, so that we would grow wise, Lord. We need wisdom, Lord. This world is a difficult place to navigate. We face many challenges each day. We need your wisdom. Help us, Lord, to believe that wisdom is found in your word, that life is found in your word, that understanding is found in your word, and that we will look back and say it is worth it. So, Lord, I just want to commit our community to you in terms of our desire to grow in your word. Help us, Lord, to help each other. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to be accountable to each other. Be with us as we journey together, and help that we would look back in a number of years and we would see our progress and be able to encourage each other in terms of the progress we're making. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Patty. Really appreciate your serving us this morning. I just want to close with a verse from Psalm 18, chapter before the one we were looking at. This is Psalm 18, verse 30, and this is the blessing we close with today. This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. So, go in the name of Jesus and be blessed. Thank you for coming this morning. It was wonderful to have you with us.
You have just listened to a message by a guest speaker given at Grace Family Church in St. Catherine, Jamaica. To learn more about Grace Family Church, visit gracefam.church.